We're going to move on now to the last segment of chapter 1, last pericope. Pericope comes from to cut around. In other words, these are all little blocks. See, the gospel writers, especially the synoptics, they don't write, let's take it in the realm of painting. You know, it's not a mural. It's a series of pictures hung on the wall. Each one is kind of separate, but they all influence one another. And so now we have another narrative, another story, okay? It doesn't say where, if it happened right after he said, now let's go out and preach, or whenever it happened. But the text says, so there comes to him a leper, calling out to him, parakalon, and kneeling down, and saying, if you will it, you can make me clean. He's got leprosy. Now, leprosy, that's the Greek word here, lepros. Strictly speaking, leprosy, as we know it, Hansen's disease, didn't exist in that culture at that time. But some really hard disease, huh? And there's even prescriptions from it in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 13, starting with verse 45, the text says, the person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head be disheveled. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp, because he'll give it to other people. Now, whatever that disease, however the medical people want to label it, it was a horrid, flesh-eating disease that other people caught if they were around him. So he had to go and live alone. Or he could go live with the other lepers. But it was an awful life. And so this leper comes up to Jesus, and this is what the text is saying, you see. If you want to, you can cure me. Now, this Jerusalem Bible, feeling sorry for him. See, sprachnisthes, which means having compassion. But the problem is that some Greek manuscripts have orgisthes, which means getting angry. And here's a little lesson in textual criticism. The manuscripts are not very, they're numerous enough and solid enough. I think Vatican, well, I don't have it. I do have it, but I'm not going to look it up now. Sinai has it too. No, Sinai has the text. No, it's some manuscript. Where would they get this idea? In other words, it's easier now if you're a critical text man and you've got to put out a critical text and you see splachnisthes and being moved with pity, and then some manuscripts have orgisthes. You say, if a scribe saw splachnisthes, he wouldn't change it to orgisthes, being angry. But if he saw angry, he might say, oh, that's a mistake, and change it to splachnisthes, being moved with compassion. So we don't know. I tend to think myself that this reading, being enraged, being angry, is the right one. What's he angry at? The plight of his brother. You see what disease and Satan has done to my brother? His flesh is being eaten. That makes him mad. And he's going to fix it, which is only a symbol of what he's going to do for the whole human race on the cross. He's going to fix it so we won't have any more leprosy of sin. We won't be being eaten alive by sin if we just give ourselves to him. However, that's the variant for the point we need here. But I just wanted to point that out. Sometimes we're baffled. You know, So the text says, say, Kisplaknistis, and being moved with pity, he stretched forth his hand. That makes perfect sense. But Keorgistis, being filled with anger, where would that come from? Well, now you're sharing my dilemma. I don't know. But I tend to think it's the second one, because Jesus saw the rotting effect of sin in this man's flesh. Not that he ever sinned more than we do, but it happened, you see. Okay. And so, being moved with anger or being moved with pity, he stretched forth his hand and touched the leper. And touched him. You're not supposed to touch lepers. You get it yourself. He touched him. You're my brother. I love you. So he touched him, and he said, I will it. Be cleaned. And right away, the leprosy left him, and he was cleaned. Done. Now, another baffling text. I don't have a translation. How does this one here now? Oh, they're pretty soft. Excuse me. But being filled with anger, he drove him out. Wow. That's verse 43. Is that the way they put it? Sent him away sternly. No, there's more to that. This is a good translation usually. But I'm just... See, so being moved, see, with pity or with anger, he said, I do. And then the leper left. So then, embri... Misamenos, afto, being angry at him, straight away he drove him out. Who's the him? Satan? The demon? Or the leper? We don't know. More likely to be the demon, huh? This is a mysterious text, but it's an important text, because it gives us a window on the soul of Jesus. This is his brother. He loves this man. You know, he's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and he sees this flesh being eaten alive by a disease. There was no disease in the world till Adam sinned. And now look. So, he's angry. And then he drove him out. Exebalen afton. Maybe Mark left it vague on purpose. This is a tough text, but it does introduce us. You can't just sit there in your easy chair reading this and say, and he drove him out, and what happened next? You got to get gripped by this reality. Jesus is engaged here. He touches him. You see? He's either angry or merciful. He's something, and he touches him. And then, when the leprosy leaves him, then... It says he drove him out. Drove the leper away or drove the demon out? Well, I think it's the second. But do you see, this is no joke. This, when the church sent order after order of these beautiful nuns who had given their life to Christ out to found hospitals in countries that were not as medically developed as Europe and America, they're doing this. They're making the good news known by healing. It's the extension of, you know, it can be miraculous healing. It still goes on all the time, especially preachers. But I'm sure some of these sisters, and they had their own discreet way, put the relic of the foundress there, and people were healed. Because healing is an essential part of preaching the gospel. If this stuff is so true, let's see it. Feel it in my spirit. Feel it in my body. Okay. And don't tell anybody. Well, but go show yourself to the priest, because, as it says, you see, the person who has leprosy shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head be disheveled, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. But he can go to the priest and be declared, you don't have it anymore. Then he could go back and join his family and his town and his friends. So that's what Jesus is saying. Get the witness, you see, because that's an offer up the sacrifice that Moses prescribed as a witness to them, that you're healed. Okay. And he going out began to preach a lot, pola, and to make the fact known, I don't know how they did, the logon known, or just let the word be known, so that he, Jesus, couldn't go openly into the city, into the town anymore. But he was out in the desert places, and people came to him from everywhere. If he went into town, they'd mob him. Why? If you're really sick and no doctor can do anything for you, and this man heals people, you'd bother him too. I remember I've been on some healing missions with people. Anybody can be a healer. It's up to the Lord what he wants to do. Now, I don't think I have a great gift of healing, but I'm a believer and I'm a priest, so I've got some gift. I can remember in India, crowds and crowds, thousands, in a great big field. I think I've told you this story before. So there was all this, the sick were, you know, sitting in rows in the front, just below the stage. So we went out to pray over them. So I was going down this row, and I was just, you know, what would you like me to pray for? And I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray. I went down that row, and I can't remember now exactly, but something like 12 out of the 14 were healed. I'm not sure the other two needed it even. I was dumbfounded. I was overwhelmed. And these people were saying, why are you so surprised? You told us this was going to happen. They have more faith than I do. But you see how Jesus demonstrates his love, his compassion? Healing is important in preaching the gospel. And it happens in parishes. I've had experience in that. You know, just if you're preaching the word, it heals. I don't heal, the word heals. People are healed of deafness, for instance, as God's audiovisual aid. What I've done for this man's ears, I can do for your heart. I can open it up so that you receive and understand. So instead of talking to your neighbor and chatting during the homily, listen. And the word of God will come and touch and liberate you. Now that's liturgy. Normal liturgy. If it happens a lot, oh boy, we'd have the churches full all the time. Well, that's a good idea. And I think if more of us prayed for that before we preached, it might happen more. Because it is the word of God. Huh? But he was out in the desert places, and they came to him from all over. And that's how this ends. That's how this chapter ends. And then he goes back to Capernaum, and we're going to do that next time. And there's a paralytic, and they lower him through the roof and all the rest. Again, healing, healing, healing. So it's so important, my friends, that our lives be healing. We greet people with kindness. We forgive people easily, quickly, you know. And we tell people about him in a very gentle but clear way, listening to the Holy Spirit, so we know what to say and how to say it. Because healing is not just, the body healing is meant to be the sign of the deep healing. Like healing deafness is a sign of saying, I'm opening your heart to hear the word. Amen.